He is Juan Arango, covers all kinds of South American soccer. He is a commentator in both English and Spanish, and he joins us now. Juan, how are you?
What's up, Glenn? How are you, man? Watching here Colombia and Chile play, man. It's a sensational match for the Colombians. Chile not playing too shabby either, and now Colombia down to their third right back as Stefan Medina just was carted off, and Steven Alzate, the man from Brighton, coming in for Carlos Queiroz. So, again, Colombia playing sensational football, and Chile coming right back. To me, as I mentioned on several occasions elsewhere, I've also mentioned that this was, to me, the marquee matchup of the round.
Yeah, this one did look like it. And you know, it's funny, because right down the street from me, there's a bar, and it has become the Colombia supporters group bar. It's pretty cool. And I saw him setting up. I was walking my dog before the show tonight. All right, so take me into the Argentina-Bolivia game, because you said some really interesting things today. I saw on Twitter where you put out that for everybody that thinks Denver's Mile High Stadium is up there, think about La Paz, Bolivia.
Well, yeah, I mean, La Paz is 3,650 meters, which is almost, it's 11,000, I'm calculating off the top of my head, I think it's 11,975 feet above sea level, which is more than twice than Denver's Mile High. it would be the highest peaks in the United States, to be around the same as one in New Mexico in terms of that. It's maybe about a couple of feet higher up in New Mexico than it is, I mean, like 5 or 6 feet, just to give you, you know, people start having hallucinations and start becoming short of breath at that type of altitude. And Argentina flew in on Sunday, started getting acclimated. It was funny. I mean, obviously, from the outside looking in, you see Papu Gomez and a couple other players. As soon as they arrived, they got off the plane in La Paz, the first thing they reached for was an oxygen tank because they were already suffering. I mean, they were already struggling big time to be able to acclimate. Messi has had a history of struggling in La Paz, and he's been quite frank about it. But Argentina played very intelligently, and at the end, they played better than Bolivia. And the altitude, again, at certain points, ends up being something that just kind of papers over the cracks as far as what Bolivia's been going through, what Bolivia actually has in terms of substance. And I think that's where the great equalizer lies, because if they would have played this in Buenos Aires, it would have been an absolute blowout.
Okay, so let me take you into this one. You said Argentina played better. In what way? Tell me.
Well, first, one of the things that, especially in the second half, what I did see from Argentina was that there was an association being set up between Leo Messi and Lautaro Martinez. Part of the reason why the second goal came to be, Messi, of course, recovering the ball, sending it to Martinez, and eventually Martinez finding Joaquin Correa over on the left. Also, you saw a lot of movement from the outside backs. You saw some, so obviously limited because of the fatigue. The runs had to be with more intent than anything else. But you saw better play in terms. They were able to pace themselves a little bit better. And more importantly, when they settled down into the match, after Bolivia scored, they settled down. They slowed down the game a bit more. The midfield of Bolivia completely dissolved. You didn't see as many of the piercing runs, especially down the left, that ended up being one of them, of course, the cross from Chumacero over to Marcelo Moreno Martins that opened up the scoring for Bolivia. That, to me, was one of the big keys of the match. When Argentina finally settled down, started playing more of their game, started finding Lucas Ocampos, Messi started getting the ball more to Martinez and vice versa, that's where you start to see the dynamic change a little bit more, in my opinion.
Talking to Juan Arango today, real great expert on CONMEBOL and everything in South America, based out of Miami. And he's a commentator on all kinds of differing leagues, including the Libertadores and Sudamericana. Is this the greatest advantage in sports? La Paz, Bolivia, where Bolivia's national team plays soccer?
When Marco Echeverri was playing, yes.
Well, don't forget Juan Valdivieso as well.
Yes, yeah, well, of course. Him, Valdivieso, Platini, Sanchez, all of that generation. I mean, that's part of the reason why Argentina and Brazil and Uruguay started complaining about the altitude, because that generation came along and started playing at a very competitive level and were able to beat them on several occasions in La Paz. That's something to also keep in mind. But this Bolivia generation, this Bolivia team, to me, is very limited, is extremely limited, as a matter of fact. And to make things worse, looks like Arturo Vidal is in trouble right now. I'm watching the game at the same time. But this Bolivia side, despite Cesar Farias leaving half of the team in Bolivia to wait for this match, because this is the one that he believed he would get points from, that was going to be that, just to see how limited they were after a certain point. It just really was disappointing.
Yep. Let me get you into Ecuador and Uruguay, because this was 4-0 until I think the 82nd and 84th minute. Again, though, the altitude in Quito, right?
Yes, and actually this to me was the match where you could see the upset, or the relative upset, if you will, in this round. I liked what I saw in terms of this Ecuador side. It was a team that showed a great deal of pace. It was a team that was aware of what they could do. Okay, let's drop back and wait. And as soon as Uruguay made a mistake, they went on the counter. They were able to take advantage of the wings. They were able to be able to take advantage of also a lot of defensive liabilities that you saw in Uruguay in the back. Godin had a horrid game. You saw a lot of the usually solid players for Uruguay start to struggle. Ronald Araujo, I felt horrible for him. It was his debut as a starter for the Uruguayan national team, the young central defender from Barcelona, and he just had a nightmare. And that's, to me, one of the big problems. And more importantly, with Ecuador, seeing some of the younger players begin to emerge, the Campanas, the Moises Caicedos, the Platas, those types of players. And to me, that's a penalty for Chile right now. So we'll see how things go there. And yeah,
how about Arriaga from Seattle? How did he play the center back?
Very well. Very well as well. And those two goals towards the end, that's more attributable to lapses, that the match was already over.
Yeah.
Ecuador was already kind of putting, you know, the foot off the pedal a little bit more, ahead 4-0. And yeah, there were some issues there as far as focusing, but I think that's something Gustavo Alfaro will take any day of the week compared to what happened in Argentina, where they were just way too conservative. And any counterattack of importance would have been able to make a difference in that match. They would have been able to get a point out of Buenos Aires if they would have been able to be more ambitious, have more gumption to go forward and see what could have happened in that particular match.
By the way, Ecuador out shooting Uruguay 17-6, seven shots on goal to 2 for Uruguay. How about a thought or two on Brazil and Peru? Have you been able to keep an eye on that as well? I know you've got so many games going on here. By the way, it's killing me not being able to watch these games live. It's absolutely killing me.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a back and forth. Andre Carrillo with just, I mean, a first-time volley of impeccable proportions from outside. Brazil equalizing with Neymar. So it's been as advertised. Both teams have been going after each other. Same thing with Chile, Colombia. And it's, again, an interesting set of circumstances as Arturo Vidal just equalizes for Chile from the penalty spot. I mean, it's been the case in that match. A lot of physicality. Same thing here with Chile and Colombia. As obviously, as soon as Chile settled down and the mistakes, that, you know, little mistakes that Colombia have made finally have paid off for Chile. And now you start to see a bit more of an even matchup. But again, these two.
Well, they went to VAR. They went to VAR on that penalty, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and yeah, it was some contact against Vidal, and finally the referee pointed to the spot, and Vidal just roofed it. Nothing that Camilo Vargas could do on that one. Just 1-1 at 37. So it's been interesting. I mean, it's been an interesting round. You know, Argentina winning for the first time in 15 years. Last time that they were able to win in La Paz happened to be, you know, Scaloni was still, you know, player for the national team. So, I mean, all these storylines that are developing truly makes this second round all the more interesting. Also, Paraguay being saved towards the end. They're able to get the 3 points in Venezuela after a great save by Anthony Silva. So a lot of things have been going on in this round.
Yeah, and that came very, very late, that full 3 points. Let me just take you back to this, the whole CONMEBOL and how grueling this process is. And you know, the Ecuador matches and the Bolivia matches where you got to play at these ridiculous altitudes that are beyond belief to the human body. Just take me into now MLS, because I feel you're lukewarm on MLS, and MLS is now getting a lot of South American players. Why aren't you a little bit more interested in Inter Miami, where you live, and Major League Soccer, because of all the influence of Argentine players and Colombians, Ecuadorians, Uruguayans that play in the league?
It's not lukewarm, and you know what? I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I had a conversation once with Hercules Gomez, and of course from ESPN, and we talked about it, and you have to give MLS its place, you know, and mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of things in terms of what MLS offers that are phenomenal. That you see these younger players coming out of South America getting a great opportunity. I mean, Brian Rodriguez, the Diego Rossis, you've seen several of those players get called up. Rodolfo Pizarro from Mexico. As I mentioned before, last time we were talking, Robbie Robinson might get a chance at Chile. Yeah, I mean, there's a great deal of growth going on in MLS. So you have to say exactly what it is. There is growth going on. That being said, is it where it needs to be? Is it where it can be? There's still growth to be made, and I think we can agree on that there's still lots. And obviously, having been, 25 years now, there's still a long ways to go.
But take me into specifics. What are the things? I mean, you want improved quality of play. Tell me what specifically for you, though, and that may be something specific mm-hmm. to what you absolutely love to take out of the game. And it may be different than somebody else. What are those specifics that you want more out of the Major League Soccer product? Like, I was just on a minute ago talking about Nashville, and I'm like, who's buying a season ticket to this? They've scored 6 goals in the run of play out of only 12 goals. And every game, they come to defend, and it's like they don't even want the ball. It's not good enough for me. I'm not buying a season ticket to that. I'm sorry. And what surprises me is, this is an expansion team who's got an absolutely clean sheet, and they hire a coach. And again, I'm not bagging on Gary Smith. He's a good gentleman. He's obviously won an MLS Cup, something I've never done, okay, as a coach with Colorado. But I'm saying to myself, you know, your calling card, your identity is the style of play, your purpose of play, the way you present yourself, your entertainment value. We're in a country that you got to provide entertainment value. So what are those specifics that you want?
I'm looking more for solid. But oof, Alexis Sanchez just made it 2-1. As far as specifics, all right. The first thing that I was looking at is more in terms of balance. That there's way too many I've talked to my partner, my broadcast partner Nigel Rio Coker, and he's talked about, okay, what type of identity? And you just mentioned it as well. What type of identity is X or Y team looking to establish? There's a lot of times that you hear a lot. Well, we were an offensive flow. We're looking to be a very offensive team. Okay, what does that mean? So I mean, there's a lot of phrases that are thrown around that at times you're not sure. Is it, hey, you know, is it something like a selling point, or is it something that you're intent on doing?
It's rhetoric.
Yeah, exactly. So you hear a lot of that, and at times you're like, wait a second, you know, free flowing football. What does that mean? you understand what I'm saying? So you hear that a lot. I'm like, wait, this is not, I don't know, this is not my interpretation.
But the people asking those questions, when they get that answer, have to say, please take me a little deeper into what that means. What are the specifics
exactly.
of that?
Exactly.
But that follow-up question does not come very often.
Yeah, exactly. And the few times that it does, it gets shut down.
Yeah. Are we too sensitive?
That to me is, I mean, again, this is not me trying to say what you want to hear, what anyone wants to hear. It's that a lot of times when I've come out with that question, okay, what does that mean? There's no answer, or it's just, you know, a repetition of a lot of things. I'm like, wait, hold on.
Well, how dare you ask a good question? I mean, that's why it's great down here with Todd Ramos. He's going to answer anything you want.
Yeah.
And he's going to go into specifics.
I've had the pleasure of asking Tab a few questions when he was the under-20 coach, and a lot of them I agreed with, a lot of them I didn't, and I think that's also part of it. I mean, it's the beauty of this. We may not agree, but still, if a transparent answer is given, I believe that it's worth respecting. Okay, fine. I don't agree with it, but if that's how you see it, perfect. That's fine. That's fair. But when you're looked at and you're given and you ask a question and you're giving the evil eye or you're kind of nudged aside, you're like, well, okay, I guess, all right, fine.
Well, you know, I think so some coaches can handle it. Some don't want to handle it. And yeah. I get it when guys are older coaches and they've kind of been there, done that. But I also think that I think it's imperative now, especially for a lot of clubs and markets that are struggling, that they're that their head coach has got to be a fulcrum. He's got to be a leader. He's got to be an educator. He's in some ways, I'm sorry, but he's got to be a salesman. I get it's only about winning, but it's okay.
Oh, no, it's okay. I mean, whether if there's a plan and the they go and abide by that plan, there's going to be wins. There's going to be losses. Okay, that's fine. But as long as you know where they're heading and you don't ask one question this week and you get one answer, and then you ask the same question the next week and you get a completely different answer, and you're like, wait a second, I thought you were going in this direction, not that direction. So to me, it's more of that. You don't get at times a concise answer from some of the people within the league. And I understand it. I respect it. But
yeah, at the end of the day, we have to respect what the coach says, and if he doesn't want to answer it, it's okay. But at least you've asked the question. If he hasn't answered it, people at home can determine, oh, he didn't really answer that well, or he did. Listen, Juan, I'm up on a hard break. Tremendous stuff here. By the way, I love when goals are being scored and you're breaking in and you're, you know, it's awesome. So thank you. Thank you for that.
I know you're not watching and you're playing like, oh, God.
Okay, I need your secret for watching Coma Bowl, so we'll talk about that. All right. Thank you so much.
I don't know if we want to go down that rabbit hole, but anyway.
Yeah, no.
I'm kidding.
I'll have to watch it on re-air on BN. Listen, thank you so much for coming on the program tonight. Appreciate it. Appreciate your knowledge, your passion, and get back to watching the games. And we'll talk soon. Okay.
And you too, man. I look forward to talking to you soon, man. Take care.
All right. That's Juan Arango. We're going to take a break here. Soccer Matters.